Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on Hurricane Katrina when we come back. You know, once in a while we get a glimpse of the real world through the eyes of an insider like John Swinton. He was the former editor of the New York Tribune. He said to the New York Press Association at some time during 1880, he said, "There's no such thing at this date of world's history as an independent press. You know it and I know it. And there's not one of you who dares to write your honest opinions, and if you did, you know beforehand that it would never appear in print. Now, I'm paid weekly for keeping my honest opinions out of the paper that I'm connected with, and others of you are paid similar salaries for similar things, and any of you who would be so foolish as to write your honest opinions would be out on the streets looking for another job. And if I allowed my honest opinions to appear in one issue of my paper, before 24 hours, my occupation would be gone. The business of the journalist is to destroy the truth, to lie outright, to pervert, to vilify, to fawn at the feet of mammon, and to sell his country and his race for his daily bread. You know it and I know it. And what folly is this toasting an independent press? We are," he said, "the tools and vassals of rich men behind the scenes. We are the jumping jacks, and they pull the strings, and we dance. Our talents and our possibilities and our lives are all the property of other men. We are intellectual prostitutes." Quite a statement. John Swinton. Well, these rich men that he's talking about, the rich men behind the scenes, are the movers and shakers of this Global 2000 program and the New World Order. They are the men and families like the Windsors, the Rockefellers, the Bushes, Bundys, Carnegies, and Vanderbilts. That's why I contend that it's time for us to wise up and start listening more to the God of Abraham and stop following after all these crazy scientists and philosophers, these preachers and politicians, and let's prepare to live through and survive this New World Order and this Global 2000 insanity. If you'd like to learn more about Global 2000, Bible prophecy, and the New World Order, just call and order my free 4-hour compact disc package. It's educational. It's entertaining. It's informative. Best of all, it's free of charge, and you can call and order yours right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, go to the website georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Then click onto the email and send an email request for that free General Law CD package. Remember, georgegordon.org, or call direct, 417-273-4967. All right, last time we were talking about Hurricane Katrina and the connection between that curse, that hurricane, that something other than rain in due season. And you certainly can't call a foot of rain, 150-mile-an-hour winds, and a flood in its wake rain in due season. But that's what we were entitled to under the terms of our contract, under the terms of the Old Covenant contract negotiated by Moses with God out at Mount Sinai with your great-great-great-granddaddy 84 generations ago. So when Hurricane Katrina came into town and ate our lunch, we got a curse, not a blessing. So last time I took a look and I said, well, let's analyze this thing called Mardi Gras, because one lady down there in New Orleans said, "Horse feathers, we will have Mardi Gras." And I'm sure that lady's right. I'm sure that you people down in New Orleans are going to have your Mardi Gras, and when we closed last time, I said, get ready for more Hurricane Katrinas. Get ready for more of the same, because you are suffering from the penal clause to the contract. See, every contract has to have a penalty clause. If it didn't have a penalty clause, you wouldn't have a contract. Think about it. We write up a contract, and you agree to pay me $1,000 for doing a job. So you pay me the $1,000, and I don't do the job. There's no penalty clause in the contract, and so I walk off with your money. I don't do your work, and I say, too bad for you. Now, the penalty clause that we have here in America is called a lawsuit. And so if you pay me money to remodel your kitchen, and I don't remodel your kitchen, you take me down to the local judge, and you sue me. And you take a judgment against me, and then you take my car and my bank account and my house and my earrings out of my ears, and you impoverish me. And so because I know that you can impoverish me, you can punish me, that you can do something very bad, wicked, terrible, awful, and evil to me, if I don't specifically perform to my agreement, if I don't keep my word, if I break my word to you, I'm going to hurt real bad all over. That's what makes us contractors perform on your contracts. Otherwise, we'd take your money and run off to Flo's whorehouse and have a good weekend, and we would never do your work. All right, that being the case, then, Hurricane Katrina, then, is the penalty that God told us in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. I'm not going to read those whole chapters. You can do that for yourself. I read you some excerpts out of it, and I showed you that here's what he said I'm going to do to you. And 20 times the personal pronoun I appears in Leviticus 26. So let's give credit where credit's due. The atheists and the agnostics and the anti-God people want to give Katrina the credit. This blind chance. It's just a hurricane. It's just a freak of nature. It's just the way things happen. And you don't want to give God credit. You give Al-Qaeda credit, you give the terrorists credit, sometimes even when they don't deserve it. But in this case, God deserves it. And I told you, he's got his fingerprints all over New Orleans. The fingerprints of God are all over New Orleans, and the fingerprints of God are all over that Hurricane Katrina. And Bill Bennett, remember Bill Bennett? He used to be a cabinet officer. I think he was in the Reagan administration. Some years back, now I think he was the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Bill Bennett. He said, this is a catastrophe of biblical proportions. Well, he hit the nail right on the head. It is all of that. And I mentioned to you last time how we Americans, 65% of us go to church every Sunday. I mean, we're religious people over here. I don't know if the rest of you people in the world know that, but we Americans are religious people. We're hypocrites. But we're very religious. We're very religious hypocrites. To give you an illustration of how that works, in this country, this is the United States of America, we have a thing called satellite TV. We have this piped into our homes. You know, you can subscribe to this. I think it's $40 a month. And you can get all kinds of channels. I think there's 200 channels, something like that. I mean, it isn't just like it used to be in the old days where you know, tuned your TV and you had two stations in Eureka, California. I mean, now you've got cable, you've got satellite, you've got dozens of TV channels. Well, some of those TV channels are pornography. We have pornographic channels. I mean, channels that have real girls on there with real bare naked breasts. I mean, we can just kind of wallow in looking at naked women. For some reason, we don't care much about naked men, but we're really excited about naked women. And these are called pornographic films or pornography. 70% of Americans subscribe to pornography. Did you know that? 70% of Americans pay their money every month and have this pornography piped into their houses. Now, you might say to yourself, well, 30% of Americans are righteous people and they don't revel in this pornography. That's right. But 65% of Americans also go to church every Sunday. Remember that? So let's take that 30% off the top and assume that they're all Christians and they don't revel in wickedness and evil. And so we'll take that 30% off the 65, and that shows then that we've got 35% of church-going Christians who go to church every Sunday, pay money every month to have pornography piped into their homes. Now that's America. I've got more respect for truck drivers and longshoremen who don't go to church on Sunday. They do pipe pornography in. They do go to Flo's whorehouse. They do use bad words, and they don't make any bones about it. But they're not hypocrites. They may be wicked. They may be evil. They may be badasses. But they are not hypocrites. Jesus had a lot to say about hypocrites. In fact, it was one of the expletives deleted that he used continuously, particularly to describe preachers and men of the cloth. He never had a civil word in his mouth for a damn preacher. Of course, he never had a civil word in his mouth for a banker or a lawyer either. And those are the three chief professions of America: bankers, lawyers, and preachers. Well, we had a guy one time back in our history, back in the olden days, about 500-700 BC, a fellow by the name of Elijah. Now, Elijah was a tough nut. This guy, Elijah, had something between his legs beside peanuts. And he was a prophet. He was just like Moses. He was a prophet. But there's no book of Elijah like there is a book of Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. Elijah, he didn't get a book named after him like Isaiah did. But he has a story written about him. It's in 1 Kings chapter 18. I thought I'd share that with you over here because the people of New Orleans and the Gulf Coast, indeed, I'm sure the people of America, were praying to God, their God, to prevent this hurricane from striking America. And their prayers didn't work. God didn't hear their prayers, or God is dead and doesn't exist, or God was sleeping that day, and then he didn't hear, and it was too late by the time he woke up, or something along that line. Why don't you flip over here with me, boys and girls? It's story time. Can you say story? It's story time. 1 Kings 18, this is the story of Elijah. Elijah had a run-in with the king. The king's name was Ahab. He was married to a woman by the name of Jezebel. You might have probably heard that name, Jezebel. Sometimes we use it as an epitaph. You know, we say, "Why, you Jezebel?" Where I'm from, they just call them whores and sluts. But, you know, they have a name, you know, that you can hang on those kind of women. You know, "You Jezebel, you." She was a whore. And this woman, Jezebel, married to Ahab, she wasn't, you know, one of the nicest girls on the block. Probably a good-looking trick. I'm not knocking her looks or anything like that, but she wasn't one of the nicest girls that you'd want to run into. And she's married to this guy Ahab, and Elijah was having a conversation one time with the king. Now, not everybody just walks up to George Bush and has a conversation. I've never had a conversation with George Bush. Maybe someday I'll get that distinction or that honor to talk to the king. Elijah did. I don't know what the circumstances were, but on verse 17, this is 1 Kings chapter 18, starting in verse 17. Listen to this. "It came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said to him, 'Are you he that troubles Israel?'" George Bush would say, "Are you he that troubles the United States? Are you he that troubles Louisiana?" And Elijah answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and you have followed Baal." You know, we could say the same thing today. We practice Mardi Gras. We have forsaken our God and our father's house, that is George Bush and his father's house, and all of the leaders of America have forsaken God and followed Baal. We worship FEMA, Louisiana, the Department of Homeland Security. We look to the United States government. We look to the federal government to protect us from hurricanes and from natural disasters. We don't look to God. And I showed you last time, and you can sit there and pray to Jesus until hell freezes over and the cows come home, but he's not going to hear you. He said, "I don't listen to sinners. I don't listen to sinners, but those that obey me and keep my commandments, I'll hear them." Well, this guy Elijah was a guy that prayed to God, and God heard him. If this guy Elijah had been in New Orleans and asked God to divert the hurricane, that hurricane would have been diverted. There's not very many of these guys around. I don't know of any. I haven't met any. I've only read about a handful. Moses was one of them. Daniel was another. Joshua was a third. Gideon was a fourth. And this guy Elijah was a fifth. I mean, you know, there's 20 or 30 of them that's been around through history. God does listen to some of these guys. But he wasn't listening to anybody down in New Orleans. He wasn't listening to anybody on the Gulf Coast over at Biloxi. So in verse 19, he goes on to say, "Now therefore send and gather to me all of Israel into Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets in groves 400 which eat at Jezebel's table." Now that's a pretty significant number. Do you know how many incorporated churches there are in America today? Well, at the last time that I saw the number, it was 476. 476 incorporated state churches. State religions, state religious institutions in the United States. You know how many there were back in Elijah's day? 450. Just about the same number. 450. And Elijah said, "Hey, gather all the people together, Ahab, and get all these preachers out here. Get Jerry Falwell and Oral Roberts and Jimmy Swaggart and Jim Baker and all these frauds and pulpit parrots over here, and gather them together, and let's have a little powwow." In verse 20, he went on, he said, "So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and he gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel." And this would be like bringing them together in Washington, D.C. "And Elijah came unto all of the people, and he said, 'Well, how long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal be God, then follow him.' And the people answered him not a word." Let me ask you people the same question. If the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob be God, then why don't we serve him, obey him, and keep his commandments? Hey, listen, if Baal be God, if Louisiana, FEMA, and the Department of Homeland Security, and the Congress, and the President of the United States be God, then let's serve our God. But just looking at the devastation of Katrina and looking at the response of FEMA and Homeland Security and the state of Louisiana, they don't look like much in the way of gods to me. I think they're weak, ineffectual gods. Now remember, the people didn't answer a word. They're just standing there like dumb cows chewing their cud, listening to the conversation. "Then said Elijah unto the people, 'I, even I, only remain a prophet of the Eternal, but Baal's prophets are 450 men.'" Boys and girls, you've got religions coming out your armpits in the United States. I can't speak for the rest of you people around the world, but I mean, we got churches everywhere. I live in a little town called Isabella, Missouri. I don't think there's 20 people here, and we got three or four churches. We got a Pentecostal church, and a Baptist church, a Lutheran church, and a Methodist church. And if I drive 5 miles, I can get five more churches. And if I go 10 miles the other way, I can probably find five or six more. We got churches everywhere. We are religious people in this country. I live in the Bible Belt, of course. Down here in the South, you know, we're real religious down here. And we take real exception to you Yankees up north. And it was the same way here. Here's 450 churches. I mean, these people were religious, and they've got all these religions. There's Catholics and Protestants and Jews and Methodists and Baptists, and there's all these various and sundry prophets over here. And Elijah said, "I'm the only guy here that represents the God of Abraham. I'm the only guy here that practices this law. I practice the Passover, the Feast of Tabernacles, and the Sabbath, and you guys practice Christmas, Easter, and New Year's, and you guys worship the sun on Sunday." Now, that's quite a little difference. Now, I hear religious people, they say, "Well, we all believe in God." Hell, boys and girls, Satan believes in God. What's that get him? All the demons believe in God. That's no big trick. I believe in the sun. I believe in the moon. I believe in the earth is round. So? The difference is that Elijah obeyed God and kept his commandments. The people in New Orleans do not obey God and keep his commandments. They eat unclean food. They practice Mardi Gras. They practice witchcraft. They practice idolatry. and they just got punished for it. And not just them, the people on the Gulf Coast got punished right along with them. And then not only that, all the rest of us here in the country get to pay the bill, which is a little better than having your house blown down. I got to admit, I'd rather live in my house and have to pay the bill for the guy that got his house blown down than to have my house blown down and that guy pay the bill for my house getting blown down. But one of these days, boys and girls, there's going to be so many houses blown down, there isn't going to be enough money or enough people over here to work to build these houses for these people. That's what's coming next. And that's why I showed you last time in Leviticus 26. Our problem is that God is going to lean on us, and then he's going to get nasty with us, and then he's going to get really nasty and go ballistic on us and kill a bunch of us. And that's what's coming. Now, we haven't got to that point yet. He said, if you will not be reformed by all of this... We were not reformed by Hurricane Andrew. Last year we had four hurricanes devastate Florida, and we were not reformed by those four hurricanes. The people of New Orleans have just been devastated, and I don't think they're going to be reformed by this. I don't think that the people on the Gulf Coast are going to be reformed by this, but it would be instructive for some of us. I mean, there might be a dozen of you out there that might want to be reformed. So let's pay attention now to the story. This is Elijah. This is Elijah back about 700 B.C. He's talking to a guy by the name of Ahab. He's the king. He's married to a woman named Jezebel. And they're just brought together 450 Baal priests. I mean, they got all the religions of the country gathered together at Carmel. And Elijah said to the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the eternal, but Baal's prophets are 450. So on the one side, there's 450 guys. They represent the organized religion of the nation. And over here, standing by himself, is a guy named Elijah. And he says, I'm the last guy in this country practicing this law. And he said, now, let them therefore give us two bullocks. Go out here and get us two yearlings, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under it. And then I'll dress the other bullock, and I'll lay that one on wood, and I'll put no fire under it. And then all of you preachers, all of you Catholics, Protestants, and Jews, and all of you Baptists, and so on, you call upon the name of your gods. You call upon FEMA and Louisiana and Homeland Security. And I will call upon the name of the Eternal, the God of Abraham, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. What a test! We'll get an opportunity to see who represents the real God. It's almost like that story, you know, that says, that old TV program used to say, will the real Jack Sprat please stand up? And you looked at these three guys over here and you wondered, you know, which one of these guys is going to stand up? So Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, you choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for there are many of you, and you call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under it. Just ask your God to consume your offering. So they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and they called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. O Allah, hear us. O FEMA, hear us. O Homeland Security. O George Bush. O Congress. O Republicans. O Democrats. O Portland, Oregon, hear us, and answer our prayer. I mean, we got so many gods in this country, we can't keep track of them all. I don't care whether you're praying to Allah or Baal or Jupiter or Sibyl or you know, who it is. Pray to your God. Jesus, pray to him. See what happens. And so they took the bullock which was given them, they dressed it, they called on the name of Baal from morning till evening, saying, O Baal, hear us. And there was no voice, nor any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. They jumped up and down, pawed the ground, bit the bushes, and did all those things that religious people and pulpit parrots do. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them. And he said, why don't you cry aloud? Why don't you cry louder? For he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is on a journey, or peradventure he sleeps and must be awakened. And so they cried aloud, and they cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets until blood gushed out upon them. I mean, these guys are religious. They're cutting themselves, and they're jumping up and down upon the ground, praying to their gods. I'm sure the people were doing that before Katrina hit. Hey, they're just praying away and getting real serious about it. Now, what was the results of it? And Elijah kind of mocked them a little bit, kind of like I'm doing. Kind of mocking. Just like the atheists and the agnostics and all the scientists, you know, they're sitting over here saying, you know, you people are stupid. Global warming caused that. That's random chance. That's the breaks of the game. There is no God. You evolved from green slime. And if those guys are right, they've got a good point. What are you doing over here praying to these crazy gods? This is just a figment of your imagination. Or as Sigmund Freud, you know, would put it, you know, this is some kind of a psychosis that you got. A figment of your imagination. You guys are mentally unbalanced. Well, it came to pass when midday was passed, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer nor any that regarded. They couldn't get their God to answer them. They couldn't get their God to consume their sacrifice. So Elijah said unto all the people, you come near unto me now. And then all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Eternal that was broken down. So there was an altar out here at Mount Carmel, but it was all broken down, and the weeds were growing up through it. Nobody had used it for years and years, and that's because they were busy going to the local Baptist church, and the local Methodist church, and the local Catholic church, and the local, you know, just like we do today. We go to all of our churches. We have our gods. We're religious. We pray a lot. We got preachers up there that turn around three times and shake bat's knuckles under the full moon. And go through all these ceremonies. They did then too. So Elijah then, with stones, Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Eternal came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Eternal, and he made a trench about the altar. So he dug a trench around the altar, as great as would contain two measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and he cut the bullock in pieces, and he laid him on the wood. And he said, fill four barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. So the people took water, and they poured it on the sacrifice, poured it on the wood, poured it on the altar, poured it down, and it filled up the trench. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, now do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran around about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Notice that this is a different God than most people in America pray to today. This is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This isn't sweet Jesus. This isn't Allah. This isn't FEMA. This isn't the Republicans or the Democrats. This isn't God. You know, God is a generic term. We put the label God on all these sovereigns. Now, a sovereign is a lawmaker, and we follow the laws of our sovereigns. Louisiana is a sovereign. We call it the sovereign state of Louisiana, the sovereign state of Texas, the sovereign state of Florida, sovereign state of New York. We have these sovereign states. These states all make laws. These laws we follow. When we obey a law, we worship. We worship our God by obeying His laws. We do not worship or obey the laws of the God of Abraham. We worship and obey the laws of our God, the God of the United States, the God of Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. And that's what our problem is. Now listen up, boys and girls. Here's the rest of the story. So they did it a second time. The water ran around the altar, and he filled the trench with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah prayed to the God of Abraham, and he said, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. I got these instructions from you. I didn't do this myself. I didn't wake up one day and come up with the word of Elijah. I did this because you told me to. I sat down, shut up, folded my hands, and now I'm here to do what I'm told. And in verse 37, he said, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their heart back again. And then the fire of the Eternal fell, and it consumed and burnt the sacrifice, burnt the wood, burnt the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." God, what a test. I'd like to see some Catholic priest do that. Come over here and say, "Hey, listen, I represent the true God, and all of you Protestants out there, you know, go gather up your followers, bring them over here, and let's have a little test today between the God of the Pope and the God of the Protestants over here, or maybe the God of the Mohammedans, or the God of the Jews, or the God, you know, we've got all these gods out here, let's test one of them." Now listen to this. Remember I told you that this God over here is meaner than a junkyard dog? Well, listen to this. "And Elijah said to them, 'You take those prophets of Baal, and let not one of them escape.' And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there." They took those 450 Baal prophets, and they took them down by the creek and killed every last one of them. Now, that's the penalty for a false prophet. If I was a preacher, I would change my occupation forthwith. Because the penalty that's going to come down on you babbling parrots of the pulpit is going to be a whole lot more than you bargained for. Now, fortunately for me, I'm just a crummy plumber, and I don't have to be too concerned about that. But you men of the cloth, you men who have gone out here and told the people that they can go practice Mardi Gras, it's good for you. Go ahead and go down to Flo's whorehouse and have a good time. It's okay. Jesus understands, and Jesus will forgive you. The day of reckoning, boys, is coming to a head. You'd be better off as a truck driver or a longshoreman down at Flo's whorehouse than you will be in the pulpit of your church. When this guy comes unhinged and goes ballistic on you. Now that's the example of what the God of Abraham does to the false prophets. Now, pay attention. If you don't want to pay attention, get after it. Do what you think's right. Make your choice. But there's the story of Elijah. We don't have any of those running around in America. I haven't heard that you Canadians have one running around up there either, or in Australia, New Zealand, Great Britain, or Western Europe. There's a couple of these guys coming, though. In Revelation 11, there's two prophets probably drawing breath right now somewhere in the world today. One of these days, these two boys are going to show up on the scene, and it says, in the spirit of Elijah. Not that they're going to be Elijah resurrected, but they're going to come in the same way that Elijah did, with something between his legs, beside peas. And he's going to tell you people where the bear does it and where the rubber meets the road. And when it comes, it's time to listen. When they come, it's time to listen. Hey, I've got to give you a reminder here. You're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the law school and The Law Hour, just go to our webpage. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Remember, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to the homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. Now, the law our website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archive, and you can access that every day on the website, georgegordon.org. You can download these programs. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date, and you can download them on 16 or 32-bit free of charge. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, economics, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. And the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just call the law school 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967 for that free compact disc set. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Lauer and editorial review, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, now the reason that I took a little time here and I mentioned the story of Elijah over here is because the people of America want to know, why would God allow a catastrophe, a disaster like Hurricane Katrina? It isn't that God allowed it, boys and girls. It is that God brought it upon us. He did it personally, live and direct. And I told you, he had his fingerprints all over it. Let me show you why I know that. Remember Leviticus 26, Deuteronomy 28? Let me flip back over here to Leviticus 26. There's a little more to the story. Over here in Leviticus chapter 26, he goes on to tell you a little bit more about why I'm doing this to you. He says in verse 31, I'm going to make your cities waste, and I'm going to bring your sanctuaries into desolation, and I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors. I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. Let's pause here for a moment. I'm going to make your cities waste. New Orleans is waste, and it's the first one. Cities, plural. It's not just one that he's going to do it to. He's going to do it to a number of them. So, we've just seen the tip of the iceberg. He's been leaning on us now for 100 years. We haven't been paying very close attention over the past 100 years. We're getting sicker and sicker, poorer and poorer. We're in debt up over our eyeballs. We got $43 trillion worth of government debt. We couldn't pay that off in 40 lifetimes. We call ourselves the richest nation in the world. We're a bunch of poor paupers. We're in hock up over our eyebrows. We're just a bunch of ne'er-do-wells, and we're trying to show all the rest of you people in the world how wealthy we are. We're a bunch of bums. And what's worse than that is there were a bunch of perverted bums on top of it. But, hey, listen, just remember this, all of you people have been oppressed by Americans around the world. Our punishment is underway. We're getting what's coming to us. And I just wanted to share this with you and say, now listen. Listen, boys and girls, there's a cause and there's an effect. There's a cause and there's an effect. So here in verse 31, he says, I'm going to make your cities waste. I'm going to bring your sanctuaries into desolation. And that's your churches. I'm going to bring your churches into desolation, and I'm not going to smell the savor of your sweet odors. I'm not going to listen to your lying, hypocritical prayers. I'm going to bring the land into desolation and your enemies that dwell therein. All of the Muslims, the 7 million Muslims that dwell in our land, are going to be absolutely astonished at what they see. You boys over there, you Al-Qaeda guys, don't get excited. Our God has just done more to us than all of you Al-Qaeda guys working together for 20 years have not been able to do what our God just did to us in one hurricane. And he's got more of them up his sleeve, and it's going to get worse than that. So our going over to Iraq to steal your wells will be avenged. Just sit back and relax and enjoy the show. Meanwhile, I thought I'd better share this with my fellow Americans. You know, it's about time for us to quit the Mardi Gras. It's about time for us to quit Sunday. It's time for us to quit Halloween, Christmas, Easter, and New Year's. It's time for us to start obeying God and keeping His Sabbaths and His holy days and His laws, His statutes and commandments. And when our people did that, we became the wealthiest, most powerful nation in the world. Did you boys and girls know we used to practice the law of God? We used to have Bibles in our schools. Do you know that in Dallas, Texas, as recently as 1947, they were teaching from the Bible the book of John? In the public schools in Dallas, Texas. Today, if you brought a Bible into school, you'd get prosecuted. I just wanted to share that with you. Now listen, you can throw God and the Bible out if you want, but there's going to be a penalty for it. I mean, you can go worship the ACLU and the Supreme Court and all the rest of the garbage and trash from Hollywood and all of the TVs and the pornography, and you can go to church on Sunday and listen to your pulpit parrots if you want to, but there's going to be a penalty for it. It's time for us to wake up, smell the roses, smell the coffee, and let's get our act cleaned up, and let's clean up our lifestyles. Practice this law, and you're going to find out that you're going to make a lot of money. I've been asked a time or two, why do you practice this law? And I always tell people, because it pays a lot of money, and it's got great fringe benefits. This program pays well, and has good fringe benefits. The fringe benefits here, practicing the Mosaic law, the law of God, is much better than the retirement program of United Airlines for all of you United people out there that just got screwed out of your pension program. And practicing gold and silver in place of Federal Reserve notes is a lot better program than practicing these unjust weights and balances that we've been practicing over the past century here under the Federal Reserve Program and Alan Greenspan and all of the inflation that goes along with it. He goes on here in Leviticus 23:33, and he says, I'm going to scatter you among the heathen, and I'm going to draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. Then shall the land enjoy your Sabbaths. As long as it lies desolate and you be in your enemy's land, even then shall the land rest and enjoy your Sabbaths. As long as it lies desolate, it shall rest because it did not rest in your Sabbaths when you dwelt upon it. This land is not enjoying its Sabbaths. We don't practice land Sabbaths and Jubilees here. We don't practice the weekly or the annual Sabbaths. Oh, we've got feast days. We've got Fat Tuesday and Mardi Gras Day. We've designated those as a state holiday in Louisiana, but we don't obey our God and we don't keep His Passover. We don't keep His feasts. Now, you don't have to, so don't get upset now. If you want to say horse feathers, we're going to have Mardi Gras, you can have it, but you're going to have the penalties that go along with it, because we got a contract and there's a quarrel here. Listen, did you see this? I read it to you last time. It's in verse 25. It says, I'm going to bring war upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. The quarrel of my covenant. I've got a bitch with you over my contract. That's what that says. And I'm going to eat your lunch because you're not fulfilling your end of the obligation. You're not making your payments, and I'm going to repossess. Now, if you don't want to get foreclosed on here, then we better get busy and get out here and perform on our end of the contract. And our end of the contract is specific performance. Now remember, our forefathers said that all that the Eternal has said, we'll do and be obedient. And right away you're going to say, but I didn't agree to that. Well, okay, there's no problem there, partner. You didn't agree to it, and you don't want to practice it, so don't. But then don't bitch when the hurricanes come. Don't bitch when the earthquakes come. Don't bitch, you know, when the foreign armies come into your country and they overrun you and take you into national captivity. Now, toward the end of this, I'll just skip ahead a little bit to verse 40 over here. Now, for those of you listening to me right now and you're shaking your head saying, this guy is out into left field. Well, wait a minute. Hang on a second before you turn the dial. Hang on. I got one last little piece of message here for you. Verse 40, he said, here's the end of our punishment in the 20th century. In verse 40 he says, if after I've done all of these things to you, and they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespass which they have trespassed against me, and that they also have walked contrary unto me, and that I also have walked contrary unto them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham, and I will remember the land. The land also shall be left of them, and shall enjoy her Sabbaths, while she lies desolate without them, and they shall accept of the punishment of their iniquity, because they despised my judgments, and because their soul abhorred my statutes. Americans hate God, and they hate God's law. And the chief of the leaders who have led this rebellion against God are those pulpit parrots in your churches telling you that the laws of God are bad, wicked, terrible, awful, and evil. They've been abolished, nailed to the cross with Jesus, and you don't have to practice this law anymore. They're the chief in the conspiracy. Now, if you want to follow after these pulpit parrots, you have at it. But then when these events transpire, and you see these events occur, and if you're still alive, 90% of you by the time this occurs are going to be dead. But the 10% of you that are still alive, if you will accept of your punishment, you stiff-necked Israelites, and then go back to your God and say, okay, God, I get the point. I think I better practice your law. If you'll practice this law, then he'll take your chains off of you and you can go back to doing what you're doing. Now, that's the way that game's going to come down. San Francisco and Los Angeles will get theirs. Don't think now for a minute that because this happened to the people down in New Orleans that it isn't going to happen to you in Portland, Seattle, Los Angeles, San Francisco, or Miami. We don't know which cities are going to get it, but this is the 23rd largest city in the country, and they just got it. It's kind of like Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't know that Sodom and Gomorrah were the biggest cities in the world at that time, but they had it coming, and they got it. Now, there's a little more to the story. Remember this quarrel of the covenant? So I'm going to circle that one off. I told you that there's a quarrel. God has a bitch with you in Leviticus 26:25. I told you that he's got his fingerprints all over New Orleans in this Hurricane Katrina. 20 times in this chapter, he says, here's what I'm going to do to you. Now, we haven't seen the real nasty part of it, but we have begun to see over the past 15 years some really nasty events here in the United States. Remember, I told you what these nasty events were. Let me tell you, these are the $20 billion disasters. The Mississippi floods of 1993, Northridge earthquake in 1994, the four hurricanes in Florida last year in 2004, the 9/11 attacks, that was a $1 trillion hit in 2001, the Oakland Hills fires, the Laguna Beach and Malibu fires, and Hurricane Andrew in 1992, Laguna Beach and Malibu fires were in 93, Oakland Hill fires were in 91, and then the New Orleans Hurricane Katrina in 2005. There's probably some more that cost us less. There are 56 of these disasters that are named disasters every year. 56 a year that are occurring to us that require the president to come out and declare this a disaster area and bring in federal funds to help these people. Boys and girls, we're getting worse and worse, and the punishment is getting worse and worse. As a nation, we're not paying attention, and God is punishing us more and more, and we're not listening. And pretty soon, this thing is going to go ballistic on us, and it's really going to get nasty. Now, this hit here with Katrina, I think, is going to do us in. Our economy, I don't believe, is going to be able to withstand this. The feds now are telling us, this is the Federal Reserve, they're telling us, oh, don't worry about a thing. This only represents 1% of the gross domestic product. Why, we think maybe a hit of 2 or 3 tenths of a percent in the next quarter or two. And, hey, don't worry about a thing. Everything's going to be all right. Oh, I'm not so sure that that's the case. I'm a little nervous about that. Now, a question arises, were these people down here in New Orleans, sinners above all, did they deserve it more than the people of say, Portland, Oregon, or Los Angeles? You know, Jesus had a word to say about that. It's over here in Luke 13, verses 1 through 5. Listen to this story over here. Luke 13 verses 1 through 5. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose you then that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? He said, I tell you no, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Or about those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think you then that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Now that's the message that we get from sweet Jesus. He said, you know, if you can't learn from what just happened down there in Biloxi, Gulfport, and New Orleans, you're all going to likewise perish. So I say it's time to wake up and smell a coffee. Maybe we got to start looking around a little bit and saying, Hey, wait a minute. Maybe we better reconsider these horse feathers and Mardi Gras and reconsider this whole program down here. I don't know. It's up to you guys. Not to me. I decided years ago that I was going to shape up. It's up to you. Now, a sworn statement in Isaiah 45, verse 23. Remember I told you that God had a sworn statement over here? Well, in Isaiah 45, we'll read that sworn statement. It's in verse 23. 45:23. Sworn statement. Comes from God Himself. He said, I've sworn by myself. The word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and it shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. Now, if you people down here in New Orleans want to get uppity with this guy, if you think that you can say horse feathers, we're going to have Mardi Gras, remember this guy says, every knee is going to bow to me. Every one of you in New Orleans, you're going to stop eating pig. You're going to stop eating shrimp. You're going to stop eating alligator and turtle soup. And you people are going to stop practicing the Mardi Gras. I don't know whether you're going to do it before I killed you or after I killed you, but at some point in time you're going to stop, even if I have to break your legs. He says, every knee is going to bow to me. If I have to break your damn knees, you're going to bow to me. Now, you know, if I did this, you could catch me with my fingerprints all over New Orleans, and you could throw me in prison. You could do something really nasty and wicked to me, but I don't think you're going to do very much to this God of Abraham. This guy just kind of marauds around the world doing as he damn well pleases, and there's not very much that you and I are going to do about it. And he's getting a little uppity with us now, and he's telling us, now you're going to do this, and if you don't do this over here, now I've sworn by myself that you people are going to come to heel. I remember my daddy one time, he was explaining this to me. He said, you know, there's no better way to learn than by the school of hard knocks. My daddy told me, he said, son, there is no better way for you to become educated to the way the world really works than by the school of hard knocks. But he said, son, it's a god-awful hard way to learn. Now, a better way to learn is to listen to me. If you have a question, he said to me when I was about 12 years old, he said, you come and ask me because you cannot think of anything at age 12 that I haven't already done. My dad, he was an old man. He was 34 years old when I was 12 years old. He was 34. He told me, he said, there isn't anything that can come into your mind that I haven't already tried, haven't already done. So before you do it, you come and ask me, what is the outcome to this going to be, Dad? And I'll tell you, before you have to learn by getting your fingers burned, I'll tell you. And that's all that God is telling you here, boys and girls. He's telling you, now pay attention, because here's what I'm going to do to you if you breach my contract. Now, we've got a contract with our God, and that contract is contained in, write this down, here's where the terms and conditions are. It's Exodus 19, verse 16, through Exodus 24, verse 8. There's your contract. That's the contract. That's the deal. Then write this down. The penal clause is contained in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. And he says, if you don't follow this contract, here's what I'm going to do to you. My daddy used to say that. You make the bed, take out the garbage, wash the dishes, mow the grass, feed the dog, and if you don't do that, here's what I'm going to do to you. You don't get your movie money, you don't get your allowance, I'm going to whip the daylights out of you, and you don't get to go to the movies. And we won't go hunting on Sunday, like I promised. So it didn't take me too long to figure out. You know, I was a young rebel, but I wasn't brain dead. And when my dad would grab a hold of me, throw me into the wall, and I bounced off the wall onto the floor, he whipped off his belt and beat the living daylights out of me. It only happened to me two or three times. You know, I'm a pretty precocious kid. You get daylights wailed out of you a couple of three times, and you'll wake up to reality real fast. And you people down there in New Orleans now, in the Gulf Coast, just got the daylights whipped out of you, and it's about time to wake up to reality. And don't write me an email now and say I'm insensitive. I didn't write this. I didn't make the world the way it is. This is the way the real world works. And that pulpit parrot over there telling you that you can't know the will of God, it's just a mystery, and we just don't know what's going to happen next, is a lie. That guy is a wolf in sheep's clothing. He's a false prophet. And the law requires you take him out and stone that sucker to death. And if you'd have done that, you wouldn't have had that liar deceiving you. But then, you know, here again, it's your choice. You know, you got your life to live and I've got mine. But as he told you in verse 40, he said, now when all of this comes to pass and you see this happen to you, and I do it to San Francisco and Seattle and Los Angeles and Cape Girardeau and Miami and New York and Chicago, the survivors, those of you that live through this, pay attention. And you'll know that there's a real God in Israel and that there is a cause and effect relationship with these natural disasters. That's not time and chance, boys and girls, that just came upon these sinners above all. That's a breach of contract that happened down there, and that breach of contract got punished according to the scriptures, according to the terms of the contract. And he says it's going to get worse. And that's because he says, I've got a quarrel. I've got a bitch with you over my contract. Now, I told you about this gambling down in Biloxi, Mississippi. Remember that? Well, I told you about Exodus 20, verse 15, and Exodus 20, verse 17. We come back next time, I'm going to take it up right here with this thing called gambling over here. And I'm going to take you through and show you this gambling over here is a crime just like eating unclean meats. It's a violation of the strict liability statute. And if you violate that statute again, you rebuild those casinos down there. Go ahead. Just rebuild those casinos. They're worth $50 million to you in taxes, and you get all of these tourists like me going down there gambling so that you can collect the money off of us. But if you do, you can expect, when you get through building Biloxi and Gulfport, you can expect to see it all destroyed again. And then probably the next time or the time after that, I don't know exactly when. Remember, I'm not a prophet. I'm a plumber. But at some point in time, there's going to be a loss of life that goes along with this, that you're going to lament and you're going to bewail. Just like the Egyptians, remember? God leaned on them, you know, with a plague of frogs, and he leaned on them with a plague of darkness and a plague of lice and a plague of flies and a plague of hail. He leaned on them for a long time. Then one day he killed every firstborn in Egypt, and there was a wail that went up from everybody. Now he says he's going to kill 90% of us. Before this is over, 90 Americans out of every 100 are going to be dead. Only 10% of you are going to be wailing out to God about the death and the destruction around us. And is it going to get that bad? You bet. Horse feathers. We will have Mardi Gras. You can count on it. All right, boys and girls, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, remember our website, georgegordon.org. Now, the Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Remember, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours. Call the Law School direct, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Remember, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, economics, education, politics, religion, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. I've got to leave it right there. Hey, we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. Until then, good night, friends.